Health Mastery Cafe is recorded live and produced by DMMD Studios in Atlanta.
For me, sitting at home, I felt guilty for being sick, that I got sick.
Wow.
Next on the Health Mastery Cafe.
We're back on the Health Mastery Cafe. I'm talking with Dr. Tara Hrabowski-Blackmon. She's a heart failure specialist in Florida. And what we were talking about before the break was how the misinformation is still essentially causing a lot of trouble and probably killing a bunch of people, quite frankly. There are some things you want people to know. But before we get into the things that you want people to know, take me back to the time when you were in the hospital or wherever you were and you realized that COVID-19, that this thing was real. Like, this is about to be a real bear. When did you notice that? Take us back there.
When I knew it was real was when we went from 70 to 67. Well, excuse me. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 to 67, literally overnight. That's when I knew it was a problem.
To 67 COVID positive patients or 67 really sick patients?
COVID positive patients, to the point where we had to, one of our ICUs had to become an ECMO unit. And so just for you folks who may not have heard of ECMO, ECMO is pretty much total life support. I mean, the patients were already ventilated because of the lung, you know, had the tube down the throat for the mechanical ventilation for their lungs and things like that. ECMO is total circulatory support.
Yeah.
And that's when I knew, when we were borrowing ECMO machines from other places, that's when I knew.
Yeah. And ECMO is an abbreviation for people to understand. You want to tell us what ECMO, what it means, and then again, give us a sort of a common sense definition of what it is.
It's extracorporeal membrane oxygenation. So it's you know, so it takes blood from one vessel, puts it through an oxygenator, takes it back through the system, through another vessel, and circulates it back to your body so that you are circulating oxygenated blood.
Essentially, it's working as your lungs.
It's working as your, you can have it work as your lungs and your heart.
And your heart. And these people, their lungs and their hearts, or, you know, one or the other or both, they are not working.
They're not
working to the extent that in order to save your life, we've got to use a machine to oxygenate your blood and or to pump your blood.
Yes, 100. That's an excellent way to put it. Yes, that is it.
There is no higher form of life support.
No.
That we know of. That is it. If we can't save you with ECMO, it is really going to be, it's not going to end well. And were people dying on ECMO?
100%. So that's what people have to, ECMO is the last resort. It's a salvage.
Now, it's a salvage therapy. And if you fail the salvage therapy, there's nothing left.
But let's be clear, we did have people walk out of there. We did. I mean, we're really good at ECMO, at my particular center. We're really good at ECMO. But I mean, it's the kind of situation where it's really disheartening because you know if they're not getting better with ECMO, it's just, they're just not going to get better. And I think one thing, you know, we talk about what would I really want somebody to know? And I really want someone to know that it took such an emotional toll for healthcare workers. And I don't even mean the physicians. I mean the nurses that were there at the bedside.
Yeah.
Who watched these patients die every single day and still had the strength to come back to work.
Yeah.
That's beyond me. That is beyond
me. You know, and I'm glad you said that. And that's your first thing. Number one, I want people to know how, you know, dramatic you said the emotional toll is. I don't think people, because we've been just sort of inundated with all these numbers and you see 200,000 this and 200,000 that, you forget how there's somebody watching those people, trying to help them, but watching them die despite their best efforts. That hurts somebody whose life is dedicated to trying to save them.
Oh, 100%. We watched, you know, a colleague's wife die of COVID in the hospital. You know, like that is, I can't imagine what that feels like.
Yeah.
I would never want to imagine what that feels like, but I think that's one thing that, you know, we talk about the medical things, you know, all the science, you know, but there is an emotional aspect to this disease that, you know, we talk about the organ, you know, in organ function, the sequelae of the infection on in organs and things like that, but the psyche, the mind.
Yes.
Yes. I think that's gonna really, it's PTSD. And the only reason I can say that is because I had COVID.
Ah.
And when I tell you, I felt there were so many emotions going on when I got COVID. Not only did I feel just absolutely terrible, it became for me, you know, when you sit at home, unfortunately, it's a lot of empty time, a lot of empty space and walls, and it's a lot of thoughts. Yes. It's a lot of thoughts.
Yeah.
And so in that time, and I think this is why what a lot of people didn't really take into account too, you know, we talk about the imposter syndrome, like women really, you know, have a really difficult time with imposter syndrome and things like that. For me, sitting at home, I felt guilty for being sick, that I got sick.
Wow. So not imposter, not, hey, you know, when are they going to find out I'm not as good as I think I am or they think I am, but I should be on the front lines, but here I am at home. And you felt guilty.
I felt guilty. And like, how the hell did I let myself get this? Because it was, the thing is, I got it in my office. So the entire office got it. So it wasn't even like I got it from the hospital or I got it because I went to the club. It was literally in the office.
Wow.
And so we all got sick. And so it was seeing the fear, you know, in my husband's face, you know, my mother, and having a call, you know, call them, was like, I have COVID. And then you can kind of hear the silence over the phone.
Right.
And it's just like, well, Mom, I'm not dying. Like, I don't think, you know, and right. That was all.
Yeah. Well, that goes into the psyche, doesn't it? That goes into the thinking, the thought process.
It does. It does. But when I tell you there was a PTSD, I after the fact, I felt like I had PTSD.
Yeah. So did you, was there ever a point where it got so bad that you thought that you wouldn't make it or?
No, I felt okay. Well, the early part, my bones hurt so bad.
Yeah.
And my body hurt so bad that I would just cry like through the night. I would literally be in tears through the night. And it was just something my husband just couldn't, I mean, God bless his soul. I think it took a toll on him and just like, I can't help you. Like I literally cannot help you. You know, I wasn't sick enough, you know, I didn't require, you know, any kind of oxygenation. So I wasn't a candidate for remdesivir or anything like that. But I took the steroids. I took, you know, vitamin D, vitamin C, zinc, you know, all those things, and just had to ride it out.
Yeah.
But one thing I can say, and for about 2 months afterwards, I had a headache every single day at the same time, every single day.
Wow. Wow.
So that's
in the morning. Was it in the morning or?
Nope. In the evening. And so everybody would say, oh, it's stress. I'm like, it's not stress. I've had the same job. You know, I've had the same kind of job for years.
You know what stress is, right?
You know, I know what stress is. I know
this was not stress.
This was not stress. This was not stress whatsoever. So another thing that I would want people to know, that we have only started to see, we don't know what long COVID is. We don't know what this long haul is. We have yet to know really what is the true manifestation of COVID. Because there are people who had COVID right when it first started, back in like
2019.
Yeah, 2019.
When we had no clue what it was.
No clue. And they are still suffering.
Still, yes.
They are still suffering. So something has permanently, I don't know if it's permanently, I think we started to talk about this a little bit earlier. Something has changed.
Yeah. Something changes in the body to the point where the body has a long memory about this thing.
It has a long
and whether it's the immune system or the actual damage that's left over, there is something, and it's not quite clear what it is. This thing is completely new, to your point. Point number two, it's too early for us to know how bad this thing can get.
Yeah, it's too early.